Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1, 1863. Yet, slavery continued in areas where the absence of Union troops allowed the Confederacy to withhold news of emancipation from the 250,000 enslaved people in Texas. And, whereas on June 19, 1865, Union soldiers led by Major General Borden Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, with news that the Confederacy had surrendered and that all enslaved people in Texas were free.
Yeah, you know, it's a historical fact that common enough in warfare, at least it used to be common enough in warfare, that when you'd have a war, the end of the war wasn't immediately known by everybody everywhere. You know, there's all these stories in, you know, World War One and certainly wars before that, that, you know, like the armistice has been signed, but it takes a little while to get the information of the troops on the front line. You know, this is not quite the same as that, but it's, and certainly it took longer than it should have. But getting the word to the last of the slaves that had not realized that they had been made free in Galveston, you know, took a minute. And so that's why we celebrate Juneteenth. This is Mayor Heather Lindsay in the city of Milton reading the proclamation that they put forward for this the other day.
And whereas freedmen in Texas organized the inaugural celebration of Jubilee Day on June 19th the following year, with Juneteenth commemorations occurring in the decades to follow that featured music, barbecues, prayer services, and other activities. And whereas the Juneteenth tradition spread as Black people migrated from Texas to other parts of the country. And whereas for over 150 years, the emancipation celebration known as Juneteenth commemorates with joy the faith and resilience of African Americans who survived enslavement, with Texas being the first to recognize June 19th as a holiday in 1979. And whereas Juneteenth was officially recognized as a federal holiday when President Biden signed legislation so stating on June 17th, 2021.
So it is a federal holiday. So like your federal courts and the stock market and mostly the Postal Service is not running today. It is not a state holiday in Florida, not a holiday. It's like a day of observance or something like that. It's some kind of middle level thing. So there's a lot of, you know, local offices may or may not be open depending on whether, like, you know, the city has closed them or the county has closed them. But, you know, Biden did make it a federal holiday back in 2021. And that's kind of the evolution of the celebration of the day. And so now.
And whereas Americans of all colors, creeds, cultures, ethnicities, and countries of origin share a love of freedom and a determination to protect our rights through democratic institutions by which the tenets of freedom are guaranteed and protected. And whereas until all are free, none are free, reminds us as citizens to celebrate Juneteenth in recognition of our nation's development and realizing the ideals of the Declaration of Independence. Now, therefore, I, Heather Lindsay, Mayor of the City of Milton, do hereby proclaim June 19th, 2023 as Juneteenth, and I invite all Miltonians to participate in events that celebrate freedom for all.
And it is an Escambia holiday. You know, I don't know if it's a Santa Rosa holiday. I need to look. Pensacola holiday. So things that might normally be open are not going to be open today. But yeah, it's an interesting holiday also, because it's, on the one hand, it's kind of for most Americans, it's relatively new. I mean, it was just made a federal holiday in 2021, so that's relatively new. You didn't grow up with Juneteenth celebrations if you're white. Okay, you may have if you're Black. And that's another part of what makes this kind of an unusual holiday for a lot of people, is because they feel like this is a byproduct of some of the racial injustice movement, protests, George Floyd, the time frame in which it became more popularized, that, you know, I think a lot of people still have the feeling like it's kind of a Black holiday rather than an American holiday. And I always try to say it might feel that way, and I understand, you know, why you might feel that way, but it celebrates an American good. it celebrates the ending of slavery. You know, we don't have any holidays around the Civil War. Kind of for obvious reasons. I mean, part of the reason is because a Civil War is never something you can really celebrate, right? Because, you know, if one side wins, one side loses, it's still half the country or whatever, you know, and all of the death and all of the destruction. And you're not going to have a national holiday to celebrate a thing where half the country loses. I mean, it's a weird, you know, there's no holiday around. There's not like, you know, Victory Over the South Day. Right? You know, the way we'd have Victory Over Japan Day or Victory Over Germany Day or something like that. It just doesn't exist in that way. The closest we've got is this, because this would be celebrating the end of the evil that was so crucial to the events leading up to and, of course, the, you know, reasons for the war. And so celebrating the end of slavery, to me, is an American thing. And even though it can feel, for some people, it can feel like, well, this is kind of a black day. Well, no. I mean, this is an American day. And, you know, not to put too blunt a point on it, but, you know, an awful lot of white people fought in order to make liberation for the slaves. Sadly, an awful lot of white people fought against liberating the slaves, too. But that side lost, right? So the other thing about Juneteenth that's kind of interesting is we've got tensions in our culture around how we treat other cultures. And to a large extent, black culture in America is another culture from white culture, the dominant culture, the mainstream culture, you know, whatever you want to call it, okay? And so, for example, when it comes to, like, food and music and dress, we have a tension right now in this country, a tension which I think is to some degree falsely placed, but nevertheless, here it is. On the one hand, you know, we like Japanese food, Chinese food, Mexican food, Italian food, right? And so we celebrate those things. We enjoy those things. And nobody thinks much of it. But if you want to sort of role play as other cultures, that's currently viewed by some as cultural appropriation. I think that's a nonsense argument. I think that if you're going to celebrate a thing, enjoy it. If you like Mexican music, if you like Italian music, if you want to dress in Japanese garb or Chinese garb because you think it's neat or it's cool, I have no problem with it. I, you know, as a representative of a culture, like let's say Christianity as a culture, if somebody wants to, you know, wear my icons and celebrate my stuff and, you know, if they want to, I don't know what dressing as a Christian would be, but, you know, if they want to take my culture and use it, that doesn't bother me. I think that's promoting my culture. And if they're doing it in a way that's inauthentic or at odds with my culture, well, you know, okay, so be it. I mean, you know, that's a long history of that. So I think all these arguments about cultural appropriation are pretty stupid. Not stupid. They're overblown. There are cases where it's really a kind of racism or anti-culturism because you're mocking the thing. But most of the stuff is not mocking it. And as long as you're not mocking it, and even if you are, you have the freedom to do it, it maybe isn't a good thing. So then we come to Juneteenth, and one of the problems that we have in figuring out how to honor it is the foods that are typically going to be eaten are sort of culturally black foods. But we have learned as white people, you know, that, well, the foods that they're going to eat might be, you know, barbecue and watermelon, and that's normal. In fact, watermelon has the pink, right, that symbolizes the blood and the struggle, or red velvet cake that symbolizes the blood and the struggle. You know, or you think of something like fried chicken. Well, am I supposed to eat fried chicken on Juneteenth? I don't know. We used to make fun of black people for eating fried chicken because fried chicken was the bits that came off the worst part of the animal. And so it was only poor people who were often black who had to eat those bits. And that's where you get like chicken wings come from, is because it was, you know, the least quality, or the awful meats or the least quality. You know, there's sort of like all of this background to why people eat the things that they eat, and particularly when it comes to black people. And so you wonder, well, you know, if white people eat black foods on Juneteenth, are they culturally appropriating? Are they mocking? Are they being inauthentic? Are they, you know, like, those are the questions that get raised. And here again, my answer is, so if you got to, like, kids, like, say, you know, I have kids, and they've learned, you know, we're actually not planning to do it this year just because I don't have the right stuff at home. But in years past, we've, you know, I'll make, like, ribs and collard greens and, you know, red velvet cake, and I'll explain to them, hey, this is why we do this, because this is Juneteenth, and this is what it means to the people who ate these foods. And so they know that. They've learned that. Now, is that weird and wrong because white people are eating black food? Well, I say no. I mean, that's the whole point, is to recognize where a tradition comes from, why it exists, and then to honor the people who held it and to celebrate it and enjoy it the way they enjoy it. But it's just, it makes for a complicated thing. And sort of one last note on this is, in some ways, that's actually useful. And I'll tell you why. This is something that I had been thinking about more recently, is that feeling by typically white people that we don't want to offend black people, or that we don't want to be viewed as appropriating or as intruding or as demeaning or marginalized. You know what I mean? Like that feeling of being an outsider a little bit in something like this and not being quite sure what to do and not wanting to step wrong. That's an okay thing to feel, because it gives you just a little slice of what black people feel an awful lot around white culture and around white people. That feeling of being the outsider, the marginalized, the unsure, the unwelcome, you know, the person who's staying at the hotel that they don't really belong in, that kind of feel, the person who feels like when they're shopping, they're being watched because they're not sure they belong or are accepted. It's okay to feel a little bit of that. And then think about, what's it like to live life all the time that way? Which was certainly true for much of the history of the United States, even, of course, you know, post the Civil War under Jim Crow and everything else, and much worse than it is right now or has been for a long time. So anyway, just a, you know, just some thoughts about Juneteenth. We celebrate it. I believe in it. Don't feel like it's just a black holiday. It's an American holiday because it celebrates a good thing, the end of slavery in the country. But yeah, it's okay to have some kind of tension around a holiday like this because it can be useful. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
Here at the Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound, we use soft, fresh-tasting coconut,
the crunchiest almonds, and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even way better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate.
Featuring the music of David Bowie, Queen, The Police, Portishead, Soundgarden, and more.
Coming to the Sanger Theater on June 22nd. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Boring.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You might remember on Friday, we were having a lot of conversations, of course, about the weather as we kind of did a hybrid radio all day long covering the weather. But one of the things that had come up was this video that was shot in Perdido of this weird, inexplicable light floating, the Perdido UFO UAP. And it's kind of funny because people had all kinds of theories about what this might have been. The video's up on our Facebook page. Chris DeGraff is the one who videoed that. We actually had him on the air on Friday to talk about it a little bit. And, you know, things like it was a drone, or things like it was ball lightning, things like maybe it was afterburner of a jet. And it was not ball lightning. It was not a drone. It was not a jet. Was it some UFO? Well, I'll tell you what I think it was. And I believe in the segment, I actually mentioned this. There was a group of people that were sending up Chinese lanterns from Perdido that day.
No.
And they shared video with me of them doing that. And I'm like, that's it. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, right? You know, we're sitting here thinking, all right, they're here. The truth is here. They caused the storm.
We're going to have Juneteenth and Independence Day.
That's right. Yeah. Chris DeGraff is going to go missing, and we're going to know why. No. Japanese lanterns or Chinese lanterns or whatever you call them, that was, you know, where you light the fire underneath the bag of the something or other, and it floats up in the air. And then
and that makes sense, because he said, well, and then my coworker said, did you see the one from earlier?
Right, yeah, there was one 10 minutes prior.
Oh,
so,
man.
There you go.
I was looking up UFO Perdido Key, Chris DeGraff, trying to show Darren. I'm like, you know, Chris, this is crazy.
So can I say that was it with 100% confidence? I say it with about 95%+ confidence. I think that was
it.
Hey,
making it worse.
Because they sent
Andrew McKay. 2023.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, I still believe in the UFO theory, all right? A violent weekend across the country left at least 5 people dead and dozens injured in shootings all across the country. More than 20 people were shot in Chicago. One person died there. Other shootings in St. Louis, California, Baltimore, Pennsylvania. A state trooper was actually killed there during an attack on a state police barracks. The FBI and multiple state agencies investigating after dozens of letters containing suspicious white powder were sent to state officials in Kansas last week. More than 90 of those letters have been reported across the state in recent days. And Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting today with Chinese President Xi Jinping. It's the second and final day of a visit aimed at easing tensions between the two nations. Blinken's trip to China, the first by U.S. Secretary of State since 2018.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 527 here on News Radio 92.3. If you have pests, do you live in Florida? Then you have pests. Right? That's the way that works. Not just like people you disagree with, not your pesky neighbor, but you know the pesky neighbor with 6 legs. Hopefully that's not your neighbor. Anyway, NSEC, they will take care of this stuff. They have a targeted program to eliminate the most common household pests like roaches, ants, fleas, rodents, mosquitoes, you know, all of that stuff. Professionally trained technicians will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside while taking steps to stop other ones from infesting your home. They show up on time. They take photos. They tell you what you did. You get a full record of everything. Of course, you know, estimates are free, right? Obviously, no problem. So find out what would be involved in them taking care of it. They have annual and quarterly pest control services to stop things from getting inside your home. And so for right now, one thing they've got is a fire ant program. It takes just one treatment. Bonds with the soil guarantees you a full year of fire ant protection. And you've got $25 off a new fire ant contract right now. They've got mosquito protection. Mosquito management plan scientifically identifies mosquito species creating the problem and customizes monthly service visits to effectively reduce mosquito populations in your yard. And new annual pest control customers get $50 off. There are some restrictions that apply, so got to check out the website for details. And as always, again, estimates are free. So if you are interested in solving that problem and solving it in a more permanent way, NSEC, ENSEC.net. They are also now hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, Panama City. Good pay, good benefits, 401k, health insurance. It's a career, not just a job. You can grow and lead into management, all that stuff. You can apply at workwithnsec.com. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I got to host the Escambia County Fire Rescue Awards ceremony on Saturday at Marcus Point.
Was it great?
Yeah, it was. And it was really, you know, it was really humbling to have the opportunity to sit there and talk about these heroes and all the lives they've saved and the things that they've done and the endeavors that they've undertaken. And then they did something that made me feel completely awkward at the end, but it was awesome. They gave me a helmet with my name on it. Like their thank you. You know how you do thank yous a lot of times for people who do stuff. And they gave me a helmet with McKay on it and like, and so I feel weird about wearing it because I'm not a firefighter. It feels a little bit like, yeah, like I'm taking somebody else's honor, you know, that kind of, like, it doesn't feel like I deserve it. Yeah, yeah, it'd be like, you know, I don't know. I love it. I think it's fantastic. It's a really cool helmet. But I also felt a little awkward, like, I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, so anyway. But they were awesome to me, and it was a really fantastic ceremony. And, you know, really great to see all these people and see their endeavors get honored as they did. at Marcus Point Baptist Church. What do you have coming up in your news, David?
Well, the weather caused several issues across Northwest Florida. We'll talk about that after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's met with China's President Xi in Beijing, wrapping up a two-day visit aimed at easing tension between our countries.
This is more of a door opener, if you will, to resume high-level face-to-face meetings. The Chinese foreign ministry not sounding very optimistic, saying relations between both countries are now at their lowest point since its establishment. Now, Blinken is meeting with Chinese officials in the same building that hosted Richard Nixon more than 50 years ago.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. It's Juneteenth, signed into law as a federal holiday by President Biden 2 years ago.
Juneteenth dates back to the Civil War, commemorating June 19, 1865, when Union troops informed black slaves in Galveston, Texas, that they were free. Celebrations were held at local levels for decades. Texas became the first state to recognize Juneteenth as a state holiday in 1980.
Fox's Jared Halpern, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got 82 degrees. It is partly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. And good. All right, 82 degrees here in Pensacola this morning. Well, we're not completely out of the woods yet. We are looking at another day with a chance of severe storms. Meteorologists have Northwest Florida today at a level 3 of 5 risk for severe weather, especially at the throughout the early morning hours. The risk of weather dropping later in the day does continue at a level 2 of 5. Now, we're going to be watching that weather closely today, and we'll get more with Channel 3 in just a few minutes. Wet conditions over at the airport in Destin over the weekend caused issues with a plane landing on Saturday. Now, officials in Okaloosa County say a plane came in for a landing and hit a puddle of water on the runway. That caused the plane to slide into the grass. The impact then caused the plane's landing gear to collapse. It landed on its wing. Luckily, nobody was hurt in that incident. Another issue over the weekend. Several people had to be rescued, marine rescues in Okaloosa County. Boats washing ashore yesterday because of severe weather when another storm moved across the area. Deputies say multiple vessels and occupants washed ashore due to high winds and currents near Crab Island on Sunday. Now, the Sheriff's Office Marine Unit was able to rescue all the stranded boaters, took them all to a rally point at the boardwalk on Okaloosa Island, and so far no reports of injuries from any of that. A brief evacuation at the Naval Air Museum at NAS Pensacola. That happened on Saturday morning. Somebody noticed the smell of smoke inside. Despite the scare, though, officials say they checked it out. There was really no danger. The smell apparently was connected with a power outage in one of the museum's buildings. It was reopened not long after. Two people have died. A police officer was hurt. This is after a crash in Palm Beach County. And the sheriff's office says Riviera Beach police officer Carl Johnson's Dodge Charger collided with a Hyundai yesterday. The driver and passenger in the Hyundai died at the scene. Johnson was taken to a hospital. He's currently in serious condition. Officials looking for a missing Oklahoma man that was last seen swimming in the Gulf on Saturday. Police and Gulf Shores say 54-year-old Nolan Flanagan went into the Gulf for a swim Saturday afternoon and hasn't been seen since. He was described as about 5'10", 189 pounds, brown and gray hair with a beard. And officials say Flanagan takes medication for seizures and can become disoriented. If you come across him, you should contact Gulf Shores Police. 5:34 News Radio 92.3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. More showers and thunderstorms today with severe weather possible. 70% chance of rain with a high near 91. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73 with overnight storms possible. We're going to be seeing another weather alert day for Tuesday as severe weather still possible for Tuesday. 70% chance of rain. Tuesday, high near 90 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71 and rain chances continue through the rest of the week. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 82 in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 81 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Climatech, heating and cooling is what we know. Call 857-4700.
We've all heard the saying, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. In the Florida Panhandle, it's both. Hello everyone, Travis Thompson here from Climatech Professional Air, your independently owned American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. While we can't do a whole lot about the heat and humidity outside your home, we can make a big difference in the comfort and humidity inside your home. Our high-efficiency comfort systems are designed to reduce humidity, save on energy cost, be better for the environment, at the same time, keeping your home more comfortable. Combine that with instant rebates up to $1,200 and available energy tax credits up to $2,000, and a new high-efficiency comfort system is the way to go when your home needs a new system. Want to know more? Give me a call.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
And this is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Going to discuss other candidates that weren't chosen on for this list, because I see people that we should be talking to that's not on this list.
Oh, yes, sir. Just because Buzz had a recommendation doesn't mean those are the only people.
It's our responsibility.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't set that expectation right, Mr. Cusack. I thought we'd already discussed that.
Well, we did,
I apologize.
But, I know we did, but I just want to be clear that I don't agree with the list.
So this is Councilmember Mike Cusack in the city of Milton during the special city council meeting last week to whittle down the list of applicants for the Milton City Council manager to replace Randy Jorgensen when he retires here in a couple of months. And Mike Cusack has said, look, so Mike's role on the council, generally speaking, is the naysayer, the kind of the cantankerous is the best word I can come up with, you know, the kind of opinionated guy. Okay. And I don't mind that role. I think that role is a useful one. He brings up things that other people don't bring up. Okay. Whether you like or disagree with whatever he's bringing up. It's common. Okay. It's common. We also have Marilyn Farrow's kind of serving that role right now. And again, though I, you know, might disagree with them, I don't mind them bringing up the things that they bring up, because I think that's the diversity of viewpoints and you get all the kind of the issues out. I always thought that, like, you know, when Jeff Bergosh was on the school board, that was a useful voice. He was always the 4-1. You know, he was always the one. When Doug Underhill was on the Board of County Commissioners, you know, I don't mind it when you have that dissenting voice. It's very common in anything over about 5 or 6 that you're going to have one or two of those. In this case, what Mike is saying is, look, I've hired a lot of people in my life, and, you know, I think there's a lot of people on this list shouldn't be on this list, and there's a lot of people that aren't on this list that should be on this list. And that's entirely his prerogative to be able to say something like that. So they go through this whole conversation, about an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that, meeting, in which they're basically wanting to add people to the list that aren't on the list and take people off the list that aren't on the list. And Buzz Eddy, you know, and they're trying, Buzz Eddy is the former city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze, and they're trying to whittle down this list to a manageable number, 7 to maybe 10 at the most, that they can do Zoom meetings with, and then from that they can have maybe 3 people in for, you know, in-person meetings and meet the community, and then they can make a decision from that. Well, they did a smart thing at a certain point where they kind of got everybody to give their top 3. It's kind of funny. You would think that whittling down a list to 7 or 8 would be a relatively easy thing to do. It's not. And part of the reason it's not is because how do you vote on something like this? Like, Buzz Eddy had given them a list of, I think it was 10 in the end. And, you know, here's your 10, and how do you vote? Well, one way to do that voting is kind of what they had planned to do, which is you rank them from 1 to 10. You know, 1 being your best and 10 being the one that you least want. And then whoever gets the lowest total score, the, like, bottom, so to speak, which is really the top, you know, 7 or 8, those would be the ones that you would include. Well, the problem with that is, what do you do with somebody who's not on the list? Like, you know, you heard there Mike Cusack. He's got people that aren't on the list. Well, just add them to the list. How? On everybody's list? On just his? Because if they're just on his, then he's going to get, you know, no votes, and it's going to be a low score, ironically, even though he couldn't get a high score because nobody else is voting for him. Well, okay, what about, well, what about if you feel like these 3 are all, you know, really good, and then these other 5 are no good? Well, I don't know, give them all 1s and give the other guys 8s. Well, now you're putting more power to shape the overall aggregate total for any candidate in one person's hands than they should have. I'm just telling you, from a sort of a justice and mathematics kind of approach, it's hard to make a list of 7 or 8 out of 40, no matter how you do it, with a group of 8 people. It's a difficult thing to do. There's no easy way to do it. If they wanted to pick a 1, you know, who's going to be your best, that's actually a little bit easier, because you could do that through ranked choice voting. You know, just you know, put your top 5, and then we're going to go through and we're going to eliminate people until somebody gets a plurality, or until somebody gets a majority. You could actually do that. But this process is actually very complicated. So what they wound up doing in the end was, they wound up having everybody, well, okay, give your top 3. And if everybody gives their top 3, let's just kind of see what happens if we do that, right? Let's just kind of see how that turns out. So they kind of went through there, and it's a big, long list, right? And there was disagreement about even who should be on the list.
Yeah, how about I just give you my top 3? In no order, I've got Chad Morris, Ed Spears, and Jonathan Lynn.
That's Matt Jarrett. And the reason I'm going to play some of these for you is only because the only name on these people's list that you're going to recognize at all would be Ed Spears. He's the assistant city manager right now. He's the director of economic development or whatever. And so you'll hear his name on several of these lists, because in my early assessment of how they're ranking them, I would imagine he's going to be one of the finalists, because they know him, because he knows the city. He'd be most in position to take over for Randy. That doesn't mean he's the right person for the job. It just means that, you know, he's the internal candidate. Like, if you were going to promote from within, he's clearly the only one like that, right? This is Roxanne Meese.
I can give you my top 3.
Okay.
Howard Brown, Ed Spears, and Lawrence Coppola.
All right. Jeff Snow. This is a little hard to hear. I don't know why Jeff has trouble getting on the mic properly, but he does.
No particular order. Ed Spears and Howard Brown this time.
So Coppola and Spears and Collins were the 3 that he put forward. So out of 3 so far, that's 3 that at least include Ed Spears as their top. Casey Powell.
So the ones that I mentioned, and again, they weren't in any particular order, was Zinkowski, Kamara Brown, Mr. Drum, and Mr. Elliott.
Okay, this Zinkowski one is kind of an interesting one, because he's very qualified. I had not read their qualifications. I'm just saying, based on what I learned in the conversation, very qualified. A lot of them liked him, but he was not on the final cut list because Buzz wasn't able to connect with him. But the reason for that is because he was traveling with his daughter who was ill and taking her to get treatment, I think, if I remember correctly. But basically, he had actually texted Mayor Lindsay during the meeting, no, I'm still very interested, but here's what you may not know about why we couldn't connect. So lots of people wanted him on their finals list, and they added him back in later at the end. Jason Vance?
In no particular order, I have Mr. Drum, James Drum, Scott Collins, and John Barkley.
But
also that aren't on the list, I have Mr. Marsh and Coppola.
So he's adding Marsh and Coppola, Marilyn Farrow.
So for me, I have four. One of them is, my top one is Chad Morris. Scott Collins is another top one for me, as well as Jim Drum and Robert Sinkowski.
And you'll notice that Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack particularly are not likely to put Ed Spears up there because they have issues with him. There's some personality conflicts there that, or issues, conflicts, or however you want to describe it. I'm just saying they're not going to recommend him. That's all. I'm just telling you that when we get toward the end of this all, not on this meeting, but the process, some of those conflicts are going to become more overt, I would expect. Mike Cusack, meanwhile, he's the one that had said, I got a bunch of people I want on this list. I got a bunch of these people I want off this list.
Yeah, I got a lot of changes on my list. So, but as far as what's on this list here, I'll say Collins, McLaughlin, and Chad Morris.
All right, so you're hearing that Collins name quite a bit. You know, he had wanted to add, I think he was one of the ones that wanted to add Zinkowski, if I remember correctly. And then Gavin Hawthorne, who wasn't at the meeting, but somebody knew what his recommendations were.
Councilman Hawthorne, his top three are Collins, Morris, and Spears, and he would like Zinkowski added as well.
All right, so that's four that are putting Ed Spears toward the top and three or four that want Zinkowski. So you would expect that they're going to be, you know, toward the top of the list. Yeah, I was right. Mike Cusack had later said Zinkowski. Okay, so then we run into issues. Issues like, well, we're trying to do a little bit. They're all doing their amateur research. You know, they're going and looking on Google and they're seeing what comes up with these people, which is good. I mean, they're supposed to be doing research. They're vetting them to the degree they can. What do you discover? One of the guys named Mike Collins, you know, or sorry, Scott Collins had some kind of uncertain information about him, like we're not too sure about whether we want him.
It was brought to my attention that there are two Scott Collins in Tennessee that were both city managers. And so to be careful with your information because you might be getting cross-referenced information.
So Scott Collins, A, applies for a job in, you know, Milton, and people go looking up information thinking, Scott Collins, city manager in Tennessee. Okay. Well, Scott Collins, B, city manager in Tennessee, apparently has some not as good information, and I don't know what the details are here, but some things that make him look like not a great candidate. And so all of a sudden, they're not knowing there's two of them. It's a very easy mistake to make. And they're like, I don't know if I want him on my list. Well, not wanting him on your list because of somebody else. And if you're the Scott Collins applying, how do you tell somebody that? Like, oh, by the way, there's this other bro. You know, he's not from my town. He's a different guy. And when you're doing your research, don't hold him against me. Like, it's, you know, that's accurate. But how do you tell somebody that when you're applying for the job? So they basically went away and they kind of, one of the things that they, the city clerk had kind of tallied up was, who got the top votes? Like, you know, they're trying to figure out a way to whittle down this list. And I know this is going to be hard to hear, so I'll tell you what she says afterwards. But here you can hear it, and then I'll explain it.
The very final column also has the most number one votes. Who has number one?
And that's kind of an interesting one. Who has the most number one votes? Like, who's the top of people's list when they actually did the ranking of, like, 1 through 10 or whatever?
You can see Mr. Spears has three number one votes. Then Kofi has two number one votes. Morris has two number one votes.
So you had Ed Spears with three number one votes out of an eight-person council. Okay, and I don't know if Heather Lindsay was in this list. I'm not sure because I didn't ask. But I think she might have been, even though she doesn't have a vote unless to break a tie. Zinkowski got two, Morris got two, Collins got one, and there was one other one I couldn't even make out what she said got one. So you would say at this point that the front runner is Ed Spears. And then Zinkowski is probably the second front runner, and then Morris and Collins. And so they basically decided, look, if somebody only got, at first they were going to go with, you know, eliminating a few from the list, and then decided, well, look, if somebody didn't get a support at all, like any votes from, you know, at least five city council members, we'll just take them off the list. And that created an actually a very nice compact list to go forward of just eight people.
Now you have Mr. Zinkowski, Mr. Spears, Mr. Morris, Mr. McLaughlin, Mr. Drum, Mr. Collins, Mr. Howard Brown, and Mr. Barkley. That's eight people.
Yeah.
There you go. And the reason I say this, you notice I'm not playing the, you know, the Days of Our Milton music is because it was a relatively drama-free process. They did it well. The public didn't get up and yell and scream, although I expect that's coming later. Because, you know, when Ed Spears is likely to be a finalist, I think there's going to be some people who do not want him because of all the wastewater treatment plant stuff and because of the perception that he's like Randy's guy and they don't like Randy, which is weird because I think Randy's fantastic. But okay, anyway, so we'll see where this all goes in the future. But this actually, for all of the confusion and chaos of the meeting itself in terms of how to do it procedurally, this actually produced a pretty good result in the end. They got a list of eight. They're going to do Zoom meetings. Boom, zip, dumb. We'll see where we go from there. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Taking a quick look at the News Radio ThreatNet radar. The northern third or so of Escambia County and about the same northern quarter to a third of Santa Rosa County right now is getting some light rain. We are in a concern zone later on today. This is sort of the never-ending everyday pattern of everything's fine, it's sunny, and then kaplow, and then everything's fine. You know, so don't be surprised by that. Heavy storms right now over Okaloosa County, but these systems are moving east. But there's some stuff west of Mobile that's kind of headed our direction later on today. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for that next vehicle, I strongly recommend Frontier Motors. Great place to buy used cars. You know, they follow up with you. They put a guarantee on their cars. They good prices, cars that are a year, two, 3 years old, low miles, great condition. And for me, just kind of easy to deal with. You know, I never liked that higher pressure environment, that kind of like, all right, you know, two men enter, one car leaves kind of way of doing used car sales. Like you're at doing gladiatorial combat against the salesperson. It just really wasn't like that at Frontier. You know, we were not going to buy a car. We looked at a car because we wanted to test drive it, basically. And then we looked at the price. The price was good. I asked them if they could come down a little bit. They said yes. I asked them if we could take a day to think about it. They said yes. I asked them if they could come down again. They said yes. I asked them if we could buy the car. They said yes. I mean, like, that was it. It was so very easy. I felt in that process, or I should say I never felt in that process like I was being coerced or manipulated or anything like that. Just felt comfortable. And so we bought a car, and they have been fantastic, you know, ever since, basically. So if you want that kind of an experience, Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
What does it mean to have peace of mind? It doesn't just happen. It's by design. PGT Custom windows and doors are designed to stand up against some of the strongest weather conditions, guard against intruders, and reduce outside noise, adding value to your home. All you have to do is close it, lock it, and forget about it, giving you peace of mind. That's the freedom of PGT.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they exactly mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? You can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10. Join Tasca King and hear how you can navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital marketing. That's this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
So the sound clip from Red Dawn comes on, and naturally, Candy, even though not holding an AK-47,
well,
as is the pose,
because I don't have mine on me.
Because she's not Jennifer Grey, and it's not the actual time period. But anyway, she holds her hand up, right? Because that's what you do when they say Wolverines. And about halfway as her hand goes, ow.
Ow.
Because you didn't stretch properly before.
I didn't. My gosh. I can't even act out parts from movies that I wasn't in. Not that I've
it's
been
hard
in
to be 29.
It is.
It
Thank
is.
You.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
No.
They need to make Gatorade with aspirin already in it. It's what used to be on the field.
I don't think she'd be angry at me for saying this, but you know, my wife had one of these recently where she injured her shoulder so bad that it was like painful for weeks because she was holding her hand up to block out the sun for a moment.
Isn't that crazy? It's
and
bizarre.
She's so livid. Like, my body is betraying me. This is so completely wrong.
It's
what, I'm
so
supposed to
weird.
Do calisthenics before I shield my eyes from the sun? Like,
I'm
it's
saying.
Insane.
Or to come into board op a show.
Exactly. Well, this is a very aerobic show.
It is. It can be.
Jack LaLanne approves. Yeah. All right, David Wayne.
Yeah, Google him, kids.
Yeah, that's right. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. Jack David? Lane.
President Biden's in California this week to discuss climate issues. A White House official says he'll be highlighting climate commitments made by his administration as part of a three-day trip to Palo Alto. He's expected to announce new federal funding for climate resilience projects. The FBI and other state agencies in Kansas investigating after dozens of letters containing a suspicious white powder were sent to Kansas state officials late last week. More than 90 of those letters have been reported. And the NBA draft this week in New York. It's going to happen Thursday at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. The San Antonio Spurs with the number one pick. They're expected to take French super prospect Victor Wembanyama. Hold on a minute. Victor. French prospect Victor. Yeah. How about that?
I would say that we have barely scratched the surface of your NBA knowledge, and probably that's all there is to it.
Pretty much, yeah.
And same. I don't know who he is either, but neither one of us is watching the NBA an awful lot, obviously.
I don't think I've sat down and watched an NBA game probably since middle school.
That's great.
David, hey, same.
Thanks so much for the update. Oh, my goodness. I'm dying. 437-1620. 437-1620. Interesting note we got in, I guess it was Friday morning with the storm. Two notes. One was, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a lightning strike at the pump station on Rainbow. Like, this is over, like, Crescent Lake, east of Crescent Lake, north of Brent Lane. Brent Avenue. I don't know what's wrong with me. Anyway.
We should start calling him Brent Avenue and Mel McCray.
That'd be funny. Yeah. But this lift station that pumps, you know, 50 million gallons a day is capable of. It's not that it does that much, but it's capable of it. So the lightning struck and damaged the motor at one of the three pumps at this station. A 600 horsepower mower. So, you know, it's just like what's in my Civic. It's a joke. So anyway, the height of the storm, so wastewater flow really high, and what they started doing is they started putting wastewater into the overflow tanks, which you hope to never use, okay? 300,000-gallon overflow tanks, two of them got filled up, and then they had to kind of pump it somewhere else. So there was a little bit of an issue in the system. They're working on getting the motor back in, but that's a pretty, like, wow, that's a major, you know, just a problem for that area, and you think about the number of gallons that go through that if they had to use that for the first time ever. But that's why you build the overflow tanks, is just in case, because otherwise you have spills, and you don't want the spills, right?